service, that he may speak through my mouth, think through my mind, use this vessel for your glory, Lord. And I pray also that every person under the sound of my voice, whether they are present here in the sanctuary or whether they are viewing it some other way, I pray, Father, that they will have ears to hear and a heart to receive the living word of God, because the living word of God will change our lives. Hallelujah. It will change our life. And so may they have a life-changing experience here today, Father, and we give you all the glory and all the praise for it. In Jesus' name, shout amen with me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, I want you to go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Psalm 133. Hallelujah. The 133rd Psalm. Hallelujah. Now, I am continuing really where I left off last week. You know, we have to be equipped to do what God has called us to do. Amen. Now, you know, I'm an Air Force veteran, and one of the first things they did for me and every other person that went into the Air Force, and not just the Air Force, but every other branch of the military, what they do, number one, is they send you to basic training. There are some basic things that you need to know about the military. There are some basic things that I needed to know about the Air Force and how to conduct myself, what to do and what not to do. Are you here? Amen. Now, some of you veterans that's here, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. And by the way, basic training is not designed to be easy. It's not designed to be easy. It's tough. It's tough. One of the things that basic training does is it changes your thinking. It changes the way you think. At one time you thought like a civilian, but they train you to think like a military person. They train you how to stay alive. They train you how to deal with the enemy. If you have an encounter with the enemy, you're trained on how to do that. Matter of fact, my basic training in the Air Force was just part of it. Then after I left the basic training, they moved me up, and then I had to take some technical training and some other training that I had to have. And the reason I needed this training was so that I would be equipped to do what the Air Force needed me to do and to be able to do it well. But let me say this to you. Did you not know that we are called soldiers in the army of the Lord? Amen. We're told, listen to me, we're told to fight the good fight of faith. We're told to lay hold on eternal life. We're told to fight like a good soldier. But if you're going to fight like a good soldier, you got to be equipped. You got to put yourself in a position to learn. Amen. Amen. And let me tell you something else. And those of you, how many veterans do I have in here? Raise your hand, veterans. Raise them high. Amen. Give our veterans a hand. Will you praise God? Thank God for our veterans. Amen. Amen. Now, let me tell you something. In the military, you start out in basic, and you don't have any responsibilities other than to do what they tell you and learn. They tell you when to get up. They tell you when to go to bed. They tell you when to eat. Now, that's one of the first things we learn is obedience. To follow instructions. But I was so proud. I was so proud because after basic training, right after basic training, maybe a week before I got out of basic training, I got my first stripe. I was so proud of that thing. You know why I was proud of it? Because I earned it. I had to run many miles. I had to fight my way through many obstacle courses. And I earned that stripe. But I learned something in the process. That stripe on my arm told everybody else that I had accomplished something. And now I was ready to be promoted. So now that I got my first stripe, guess what? Now I'm going after my second one. But they don't just hand those things out. You got to earn it. You got to develop yourself to the place where they will say, okay, now you qualify for another one. Well, we see this in the body of Christ. You know, I want to be used by God. Oh, my. I want to be used by God. Amen. I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And I believe you feel the same way, too. But you know, God let me use a military term. God just don't hand out stripes just like that. You know, we have to grow. We have to develop. Amen. And so that's what we talked about last week in 2 Peter. And you don't have to turn back over there. I have you at Psalm 133 right now. But in 2 Peter, Peter was reminding the church. And he said, I tell you this over and over and over. There are some things that you need to add to your faith. There's some things that need to be working in you. There's some things that need to be working in you. But let me tell you something. We're going to move on here. But come on, if you're short-tempered, hard to get along with, ready to bite at moment's notice, do you think God's going to turn you loose on a bunch of people? We got to make ourselves ready. We got to learn how to be a blessing and how to walk with God and to please him with our lives and how to be able to minister and comfort one another. The Word of God tells us to comfort one another with the same comfort that you are comforted with. Amen. Listen, brother. Listen, sister. We can't give what we don't have. If someone needs $20 and you don't have $20, guess what? You cannot bless them with $20. You can only bless them with what you have. Amen. And so he said, add these to your faith. Like I say, don't turn over there. If you were here last week, you got them in your notes anyway. But the Apostle Peter said, add these to your faith. See, believers need these things. He said, add virtue, add knowledge, add self-control or temperance, add perseverance or patience, add godliness, add brotherly kindness, and add love. These are ingredients, if I can use that term, to live a productive Christian life. Amen. And remember, we are destined for greatness. Amen. I want to be great. Now, I've been called, and you've been called to greatness. But sometimes in our natural thinking, we think greatness is how much money we have, how many cars we have, how the size of our home, whatever. You know, that's all right. If God's blessed you with that, that's a blessing. Praise God. Amen. That tells me you've been blessed so that you can be a blessing. Amen. But it's what's on the inside of us that really counts. It's what's on the inside of us. It's how we develop the inside. Amen. So now, since we are called to greatness, we're called to be great in the kingdom of God, and we talked about some things that we need to add to our faith. Now, let me tell you something. Let me read this, and then I'll expound on it here. Psalm 133, only three verses in the 133rd Psalm. But listen, but these are three powerful verses. You better hear me. These are three powerful verses. It says, verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In what? Hallelujah. Now let me go ahead and read the other two verses. Verse 2 says, it is like the precious oil upon the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is important for us as a local church body here, those of us that are part of this ministry, it is important for us, and it is important for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ around the world. Verse 1 again says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, if we have added to our faith the things that we read in the book of 2 Peter, if we have these things working in us, and matter of fact, he goes on to say, we read it last week, that if we are lacking these things, we can even forget that we're even saved. In other words, guess what? We begin to act like the world. We begin to, get this, listen to this. We begin to even conduct church business like the world. And anytime the world get involved in anything in the church, guess what? There's going to be strife. There's going to be division. Y'all still with me? Amen. People are going to leave the church house bitter. But the Word of God says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Now, I want to say, to dwell together in unity doesn't necessarily mean that you agree on everything, but you can sit down like brothers and sisters and pray over it, talk to one another in a civil manner, in a godly manner, without fussing and fighting. Hallelujah. You need to read what Jesus had to say to the seven churches of Asia. Well, one was pretty good, but there were six that Jesus had to rebuke. You know, when he looked at Word of Life here, I really don't want him to have to rebuke us. Now, but I'm on the other hand, let me say this. If we need to be rebuked, then Lord, rebuke us. Because I don't want to be going in the wrong direction. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. If the Lord need to correct us, we should be humble enough to say, Lord, correct us, because he already told us he's going to do that anyway. It's called chastisement. Amen. He's going to correct. He does it individually, but he can do it corporately as well. So we should always have the attitude, Lord, correct me if I need correcting. Amen. I don't ever want to be traveling down the wrong road. But this is a Psalm 133 is powerful because it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Why? It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garment. And it goes on to say, it is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded a what? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Listen to me, saints. Amen. I'm talking to the saints and the ain'ts. But we hope the ain'ts will become saints. Whatever we do, let's work together in unity in the name of the Lord. You hear me? Unity in the name of the Lord. Because when we do that, the door for the anointing flings wide open. And God's anointing come in on the place. Remember in the upper room when the Holy Ghost fell? Do you remember one important thing that the Bible says about that day, on that day of Pentecost? Oh, you got it. You got it. They were all in one accord. They were in unity. They were in unity. They were in unity. And because of that, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Hallelujah. And when we are in unity, when the body of Christ is in unity, well, Pastor, you know, I want to be in unity, but, you know, they just won't cooperate. You work on you. Work on you and pray for them. I'll say that again. Work on you. Work on you and pray for them. Hallelujah. And I might add, follow the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. But I'm here to tell you, I want to see a move of God in this place like we have never seen before. And not just this place. I want to see a move, and I believe we're going to see it, a move of God around this globe like we have never seen before. because I want the name of the Lord Jesus glorified and lifted up in Sherrall and every other place. So it's not just about Sherrall. It's about the kingdom of God and the things of God. Can I get another amen on that? Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Now, let's bring it back to the local here for a moment. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Again, we were over there a little while back. A lot of times, there's a lack of unity in the body of Christ, and there's a lack of unity in the church simply because sometimes people don't know where they fit, or they refuse to accept where they fit. Amen. But you know, if you have a size 9 foot, you can't wear a size 13 shoe. You can put it on, it's going to flap around. We need to find out where we fit, how God has gifted us, and we've talked about this before, but it's very, very important. Now, in Romans chapter 12, I want to point out a few things to you before we quit. Look at verse 4. Verse 4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all," let me reread that, I read it wrong. Verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." Well, you know, my hands don't have the same function as my feet. Right? Amen. Amen. Now, I know some folks can walk on your hand, but that's not the norm. That's the exception, okay? And it don't last long. You can stay on your feet sometime all day. You can only stay on your hands for a very limited amount of time. And I can't stay on mine at all. Amen. Yeah, some amens in here. So there's a lot of folk. You cannot handstand. Thank God for feet. Verse 5. "So we being many are one body in Christ." Did you hear that? We are referred to as a body. We are a body here at this church, local. In other words, we'll be referred to as a local body. This is the church, and there are many, many local bodies. Whatever church an individual is a member of, a part of, that's a local body. But there is the body of Christ. We're all part of the body of Christ. Amen? We are called by the scriptures a body, and a body have many different parts. So verse 5 again, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the what? According to the what? Say that again. According to the grace that is given to us, let us do what? Use them, right? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. And so it goes on. Say, if prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. You ever meet people, man, when you see them, I married one. When you see them, they're always bubbly. They're always bubbly. They're always smiling, always laughing. Amen. But then you meet another person and, you know, they just stare at you. Why? They're different. Now, this is called different personality. But they're different. Aren't you glad that God didn't make us all the same? Aren't you glad he didn't gift us all the same way? This is what makes life really interesting. When you meet people, they're different from you, but they bless you just by being in their presence. Are you hearing me? And the same goes with our own individual abilities. Man, you know, God's given me some abilities or some giftings that will bless you. To God be the glory. I said, to God be the glory. But you know what? God has also given you some gifts that's a blessing to me. Amen. I said, amen. When we learn that we are a blessing, it will set us free. Say, I am a blessing. Say it again. Say it again. Those of you watching, say, I'm a blessing. Amen. If you're born again, you're a blessing. Now, I'm not saying you're not a blessing because you're not born again, but you need to get saved if you're not. Amen. Then you become a real blessing. Hallelujah. Tremendous blessing. Hallelujah. And I wanted you to repeat that because that's one of the tricks of the devil. Amen. That's one of the tricks of the devil is to tell you that you don't matter. That you don't have anything that's worth that anybody else needs. Come on, does anybody else know what I'm talking about? Come on, let's be honest. Raise your hand if you had to deal with that in your life, feeling like, wow, you know, what I have don't amount to much. Well, I'm here to tell you, you are a blessing. Why don't you turn around and tell somebody that? Just tell them they're a blessing. You're a blessing. Amen. So all you have to do is start walking it out. So walk it out. Walk it. I'm a blessing. I'm a blessing. I've been blessed, so I can bless. And I want to tell you this too. People need you. You know, as a pastor, and I say this for every pastor, we can't be everywhere. We can't be everywhere. We don't get to meet everybody. But you know what? You meet people that we'll never meet, possibly. But you know what? You can impact their lives. You don't have to be a preacher, a minister, or be in the fivefold ministry to impact someone's life. Glory to God. I was witnessing and telling people about Jesus and praying for people long before I ever became a minister or a pastor. Hallelujah. Thank God, I was getting people born again before I went into the ministry. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Now, let's move on. I'm just about to wind this up. Turn to 1 Corinthians, please, chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it talks about a number of things. Like, for example, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. It talks about that in this chapter. But I want us to drop down to verse 12 and grab a hold of this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." Hallelujah. Amen. Listen to this. I love this. "Whether Jew or Greek, whether slaves or free, and all have been made to drink into one Spirit." Glory. Hallelujah. Oh, what a blessing. Verse 14, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Let's talk about the body of Christ. And of course, our natural bodies, same way. "For if the foot," listen to this, "for if the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body.'" Now, everybody need feet. So now, listen, if God called you or gifted you to be a foot, accept that. Because that means that you are anointed to support the rest of the body. You are helping to hold up the body. So it goes on to say, "Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" Hearing is important, isn't it? Just like seeing, hearing is important. Why am I covering this? Because too many times we are looking at other people rather than going to God and say, "Lord, I just want to flow the way you gifted me." And now listen to this. "And Lord, I want to," what word I want to use here? "I know how you have gifted me. But I want," for example, if you are a foot, you want it to be a good foot. So you're going to keep it clean? You're going to keep your toenails cut? You're going to make sure that there's no dirt or anything under your nails? Because you're a foot. God made me a foot, and I'm going to be a good foot. So I'm going to work on this foot and make sure it does its job to the best of its ability." Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going down to the bookstore and find me a book on feet. so I can learn how to be a better foot. You're still here. Let me read on. For if the whole body were an eye, this is verse 17, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, notice what he said here, right? Verse 18, who does the setting? Amen. And this, excuse me, this applies to ministry gifts, for example, like the fivefold ministry, but it also applies to our individual gifting. But now God has set the members, each, excuse me, each one of them in the body just as what? Just as what? So stop arguing with God. I don't want to do this. I know I do it well. I know I'm good at it. And people are so blessed when I do what I do. But I don't want to do what I do. I want to do what they're doing. I want to be like them. I can't sing worth 2 cents, but I want to sing. I want to be up in front of the people. Not called to preach, but I just want to go preach, man, because, you know, I get to be before the people and the influence. No, 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 no. We want to be where we're the best. Amen. We want to be where we're the best. How has God gifted me? And improve on those giftings. Now, look, if God has gifted you to sing, man, you sing, sing, sing. Amen. Study to be better. Do what you can to be better because it's for the glory of God. That's how he has gifted you. Let me read on. And if they were all, this is verse 19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? And the body would be in a mess if everybody's trying to be the mouth or the eye. You know, the body would not function properly. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Look at somebody and say, I need you.
I need you.
Amen. Look at somebody else and say, the church needs you. So again, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No much rather those members of the body which seems to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unrepresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it. And look at verse 25. And I believe we'll stop right there. Why do every member in the body need to know what their giftings are, and to function there. Verse 25, put that, okay, it's on there. That there should be no schism, that's division, no division. That there should be no division. How beautiful, how wonderful, and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Psalm 133:1, we read it earlier. Verse 1 Corinthians 12:25, that there be no schism, no division in the body, but that the members should have what? The same care of one another. If you want to be great for God, you can be. Hallelujah. Walk in your gifting. Now, let's say you're in church and you know that you're gifted to sing, and God just, the anointing's all over you when you sing and everything, but the church needs some help, and I'm talking about the local church right now, needs some help in some other areas because that they don't have anybody to do that. Maybe, I'll just say maybe in the nursery or whatever, the church needs some help. Be willing. Now, you know, this is not what you're most gifted for, but you know what? I'm willing to do that until the gifted person comes along and can take my place, because I'm doing it as unto the Lord. You hear me? I'm doing it as unto the Lord. If we have the right attitude, God will take us places we never dreamed of. He'll take us places we never dreamed of. But we got to be willing. Sometimes you got to do some things you don't want to do. Amen? Sometimes you got to do some things you don't want to do to serve, simply because there's nobody else available to do it. But you don't do it griping and complaining. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
You do it as to the Lord. And for example, if it's a nursery or children's church, you know what? You love those little children. Amen. You pray over those little children. Praise God. The whole time you're praying for somebody else to come in, but you're still praying for those children, and those children never knew you didn't want to be there. Hallelujah. You know, I'm closing now, but I want to say this. We know from the Word of God that God wants to meet every one of our needs, don't he? Amen? God wants, look, physically, God wants you well. Hear me good, right? Yeah, physically, God wants you well. Financially and materially, God wants your needs met. God's not trying to take anything from you. God wants your needs met. Hallelujah. God wants you to have a good marriage if you're married. God wants you to have, you know, amen. That's the reason the Word of God's called good news. Amen. God wants us to have all these things. Jesus died for us to be blessed. But what we got to be careful about is we can't focus so much on what we want God to do for us, and then we fail to develop ourselves to serve him. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And I tell people as I get ready to close here, thank God that Billy Graham listened to God and became an evangelist. It's because of his ministry that I'm born again today. But you know what? If he hadn't been willing to make the sacrifice, I might not have been saved today. I don't know. I prayed that someone else would have come along and would have preached the gospel to me. But he did, by way of television. I wasn't at a crusade. I want you to say this. Say, Lord,
use me
for your glory.
For your glory.
Amen. Now, I want to say this. You prepare yourself for him to use you. Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your word. Hallelujah. And Father, we know that this word will never, ever return back to you void. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. Now, if you are watching the live stream today and you're not born again, I want to let you know that Jesus